Let us worship God through reading together again from His Word and doing so this afternoon from the book of Psalms, Psalm 145. Psalm 145. The psalm has as its title, A Praise of David. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Our text is from verse 2 of this psalm, Psalm 145, verse 2, the first part of the verse. Every day I will bless you. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We may now in worship confess our faith and do so using the words of the Apostles' Creed. As these words are read from the pulpit, and may they find an echo in the heart and life of all of us and be our confession truly from our heart and with the church of many ages and places. After we have confessed our faith, we will sing from Psalter number 27, which speaks of God as the highest good. We'll sing all the stanzas. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, blessing the Lord every day. That's the theme of the sermon. And in a way, it's a follow-up to the sermon of this morning. You could say it's a further development or a different way of stating what was the message of this morning, living awake in 2017 and beyond. Blessing the Lord every day. That's, of course, from the words of our text, Psalm 145, verse 2a. Every day I will bless you, as David writes. My goal with this sermon is that in the first place, we never, ever forget these words. And secondly, that we make them our own. And that more and more, by God's grace, we may live them out. We may do them. We may do what the psalmist here describes and resolves. Every day, I will bless you. That is, the Lord. Before we get into it, we should really ask, what is meant by blessing the Lord? What does it mean when David says, I will bless you? Well, when you put it next to what comes in the second part of the verse, and I will praise your name forever and ever, you get insight into what David means. He's talking here about a life of joyful praise and service to the Lord. To bless the Lord means simply to acknowledge Him and to exalt Him. It means to think of Him and to adore Him, to say of Him and to Him, how great you are, Lord God. And of course, not simply to say it, but also and especially to show it. To show it through ultimately steadfast faith in the Savior and through submitting ourselves to God's every word and wanting in all our life to please Him. All of that is part of blessing the Lord. What a word and what a life to bless, always to bless the Lord. And David, in this psalm, David, by the Holy Spirit, is saying, I will do this every day. Every day I will bless the Lord. All right, let's notice first of all that no one does this. That's our first point. No one does this, bless the Lord every day, at least not by nature, and not fully and entirely as we ought. Isn't that true to say? We can think, for example, very generally of what many people do in relation to the Lord. They don't bless Him. No, they curse Him. They curse Him. And how often we may hear that. Many times even we have to cringe when people so lightly, so flippantly, so terribly take God's name in vain. Maybe you hear it at work or at school. How hard it can be sometimes to respond or to know how to respond. It's one thing if it's on the radio or if it's on TV or on a movie that you are watching, then it's easy. You turn it off, right? You just turn it off. But how to confront living people? That's harder. And many times they are so unthinking, so careless. It's simply a part of their everyday vocabulary. Or even they are so ignorant. They do not know what they are really doing. Although let us realize that their words at some level, their words are an expression of the enmity, the true enmity of their hearts, because all people by nature, all people as sinners, blessing God is the very last thing they'd ever do. They hate God. They have in themselves defiance against God. They cannot stand God. And they do whatever they can to destroy God. So many people, they do not bless the Lord. Never mind every day. No, they do the very opposite. And you and me too, let's realize we're church people, but we don't come into this world blessing the Lord either. As privileged as we are to be raised up in the church of God and in the covenant of God and to receive early the sign and seal of baptism, and these are great things to be sure, but none of these things can make up for the fact that we are all born in Adam and sinners in Adam, and being in Adam, we don't bless God. No, we curse Him. We defy Him and we hate Him. Is this not what makes conversion, whenever and however we experience it, so wonderful? Even if it happens to us, or let's say comes to light in us very generally, or very gradually rather, very softly and quietly. How many of us would have to say that's how it was? That's how it went. We, in that sense, we grew up learning to bless the Lord. And God, by His grace and in His great loving kindness, what He did was bend our minds and hearts so sweetly to bless His name. But by nature, we don't. And that's why the point, no one does this. No one blesses the Lord every day. Well, let's not only think very generally in terms of blessing the Lord. What about especially the everyday part? Every day I will bless you. But isn't this a point also to convict especially believers now, not simply unbelievers? Unbelievers, of course, they don't bless the Lord every day, not any day really. But how about believers? How many believers, for example, bless the Lord only or mainly on Sundays? When we are here together in worship? Or to say that another way, how many confessing Christians live many days of the week hardly thinking of the Lord, never mind blessing Him? They're not aware of Him, they don't honor Him, they're not into serving Him, they don't really read much His Word, they don't pray to Him, they don't seek to please Him. He's not in their thoughts, He's not in their heart really. We would say they are Sunday Christians. And they may be real Christians, but they are very poor Christians. Is this not searching to think through for ourselves? Let's be honest. Let's ask the question, how often during the week, during the rush of day to day, how often are we conscious of and looking to the Lord and engaged in blessing Him? Just think how our days can go by and how busy we can all be doing so many legitimate things, working, studying, playing, serving, well, just living can take up so much energy. And many times this is all good and right, and yet whole hours can go by, can't they? And days even where we're hardly thinking of the Lord God. And sometimes whole weeks even, so that Saturday night comes around and we're like, oh my, tomorrow's Sunday again. Where did the week go? We better get into a spiritual mind again. Meanwhile, David is saying here, every day I will bless you. Every day. And in case we missed it, he goes on saying, and I will praise your name forever and ever. So days unending, all of them and really all throughout them, everyone. Here is what I will do, David is saying. This will mark me. I will bless the Lord. I will praise His name. Well, who can hear that really and not be convicted? And have to agree, it's true. Blessing the Lord every day. No one does this. But then think too about when people bless the Lord. And they do so not just on Sundays, but really they bless the Lord mainly when everything is good. That's when they bless the Lord. Isn't that too sometimes a problem with believing people? I will bless the Lord when I'm feeling good. I will bless the Lord when my family's healthy. I will bless the Lord when I'm making money or when all is well in my life. Then, of course, I will bless the Lord. How good He is being to me. How He is showing me so many blessings from heaven. I will bless Him. I will say to Him, you are great, Lord. But what about when things aren't going as well? What about when our days are hard or our nights are hard? It could be small things, a poor night's rest, an occasional flu bug or something, maybe a disappointment at work or in your family, or let's say you're having some trouble with friends or neighbors or something. Really, it doesn't take much, does it, to get us all bent out of shape and to become mopey and grumpy and not remembering God being good always and therefore not blessing Him. Or else if we remember Him, we can become a bit miffed at Him. Why is He letting this or that in my life? Can be a small thing, can also be a bigger thing. That's true. What about when very serious things happen in our life, when great sickness strikes, or when we lose our job, or when we don't get what we were angling for, whether it be a significant promotion or a scholarship, or maybe a relationship falls apart, or maybe a loved one passes away. Maybe the government begins to tighten down on the Christian church and make life hard for God's people. We could go through countless scenarios, couldn't we? But the point is, what about those days? Those long days, those hard days, those tiring days, those bitter days. What then? How hard it can be to bless the Lord. Or to say another way, how easy on those days not to bless the Lord, but to become angry at the Lord. Or to doubt the Lord. Or even to judge the Lord. And again, what Christian doesn't know about this temptation, this challenge? And what Christian won't agree? Blessing the Lord every day. Every day blessing the Lord. No one does this. You don't. I don't. No one does. Even David, who wrote these words, even David did not bless the Lord every day. For think of that day, or that evening rather, when he sent for Bathsheba to spend the night with him in the palace. Where did that come from? David couldn't have been that evening blessing the Lord. In fact, it's likely that for days already he hadn't been blessing the Lord. Had he been blessing the Lord, he never would have sent for Bathsheba. And what about all the days and months even that followed when David lived not blessing the Lord but seeking to resist the Lord, seeking to live as if the Lord didn't exist? Those weren't days for David of blessing God. They couldn't have been. You cannot truly bless the Lord and be covering sin or living still in sin. Although the words may come from your mouth, that is possible. You cannot mean them. You cannot be for real, because to bless the Lord includes being open and honest and transparent and confessing your sins to God. No, even David did not bless the Lord every day, because as sinners, no one does. And yet here we have this text. And very clearly, David is resolving this. On the one hand, we are humbled as we listen, and we should be humbled. But isn't it true that at the same time, we are somewhat stimulated and challenged and summoned? We ought to be as well, that too. For God includes these words to call his people to do the same as David here determines to do. So that brings us to our second point, namely how to do this, blessing the Lord every day. If no one does this by nature, and even as confessing Christians, we can be so not into this as we ought, how then do we start? To that question, we can say at least three things. And the first one is very simple, but hopefully it's very helpful, and it's this. Remember the text. Remember the text. What if we all made a conscientious effort always to remember these words? Every day, I will bless you. Isn't it true that so often our problem with God's word is that it's not in our mind? We don't remember it like we should. So what if we made diligent efforts never to forget this particular word of God? How could we do that? Well, no doubt there are different ways to do it. Let me tell you how I've tried to do it in my home and with my family. When I was preparing this sermon last week, I spent one evening just putting together about six or seven different cards. And on those cards, typing out the first three verses of this psalm. And taking the line, every day I will bless you, making it all capital letters and making it bold so that it stands out. These cards are about this big. And I put them in different places in our house. On our bathroom mirror, above the light switch, above the stove, above my desk, in my car. Places where we all tend to be, and where seeing it, we can be stirred to remember it. Every day, I will bless the Lord. See, if it's in your mind, what a help to you doing what it says and blessing the Lord every single day. This works in all kinds of ways. I preached this last Sunday afternoon, and the cards were already all over the house. And Sunday night wasn't a good night. For whatever reason, I didn't sleep well. Well, the next morning, before I had even gotten out of bed, my wife said to me, "Hey, make sure you read the mirror. Every day, even if you're tired, we're to bless the Lord." And that's a benefit, isn't it? Simply to remembering the text, being challenged. But to be sure, there's way more we can do to start blessing the Lord every day. In view of the whole psalm, for example, what if we made real effort to study the Lord? You think of the Lord in that way, as someone you can study? I mean, to learn more and more who he is and what he is like. You can't escape when you read this psalm how David had tremendous insight into the being and character of the Lord. Who can miss when David says in verse 3, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable, meaning you cannot come to the end of the greatness of God. You can never get to the point in studying the Lord God that you say, well, that's enough, there's no more to know about Him. No, He's beyond that. He's beyond our full knowing. He invites us into an eternity of exploring His greatness and His glory. And what's so wonderful and powerful to do is to work through this psalm that David writes. It's entitled A Praise of David, and it's one of those few psalms in the book of Psalms that's an alphabetical psalm, which means that in the Hebrew text, every verse starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I think David has all the letters except one in this particular psalm, and it's really David's way of saying, let me try to, in an artistic way, unfold for you as best I can the greatness and the glory of God. Notice, for example, how in verses 4 through 7, he's so fixated on God's works, as he says, and God's mighty acts, and the splendor of God's glorious majesty, and His wondrous works, and His awesome acts, and His greatness, and His goodness, and His righteousness. David has God in view, and as he's viewing God as revealed to him in His Word and in the Gospel, David sees glory flashing all over the place, and he's trying to mark it down, and he's trying to convey to us in these words something of God's greatness. I can't help, when I read these verses, asking the question, wow, do I know God like this? Could we so naturally and so richly speak concerning God? Of course, David is inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's true. He's unique in that respect. But clearly, David knew personally as well something of God's glory. It goes on through the psalm, like verse 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. There are truths there that are enough to keep you going for days and days. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Well, you can read, so I won't repeat every line. Maybe a great goal for this year or even for this month would be to focus real time on Psalm 145, trying maybe to get its outline clear or even to memorize it. The point is to see what David all saw and knew to be in the Lord God. There are at least three major themes running through these verses, and they could all be summarized or in terms of words that start with M. M, God's majesty, God's might, and God's mercy. You can find all those themes running throughout this psalm, even in multiple terms and in multiple ways. And really what it seems like is that David cannot stress it enough. He just has to say it in so many different ways. God is great. Can I show you that? Can I show you in some way that God is so great? Oh, listen to me as I proclaim to you the greatness of God, and hear me as I say to you, every day I will bless the Lord. And again, we meet a man who knows God and who stands as a challenge to us. Because isn't the secret to blessing God every day not simply remembering the text, not simply knowing the words, but being struck with awe at the one who is so to be praised, diving deep into His glory as He has made it known? Can I ask, do we do that? Well, how do we do that, you might say? Now, that's easy, isn't it? Reading devotedly the Word of God, regularly, thoughtfully, prayerfully, in private and as families and together as a congregation. We still do that, don't we? Maybe you made a plan for 2017, how you will go about reading the Bible this year as your family. Maybe individually. It's good to make a plan. It's good to be disciplined. It's good to say, I will keep on reading this book that proclaims to me God. And so, how to start blessing the Lord every day? Let's remember the text and let's study the Lord God. And then there's one more thing we can say yet in terms of how to start. One more thing that we have to say even, and it's this. If we would bless the Lord every day, and every day bless the Lord, how vital ever and always to be looking in faith to God's Son, Looking in faith to God's Son, yes, looking believingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. How vital to be those who fall before Him, who faint away into His everlasting arms, who receive Him and trust ever in Him. How important that is. And why do we say that? Well, the answer is this, that God, the God of whom David writes, has made Himself most fully and richly known to us in no other one than in His incarnate Son, Jesus Christ. Remember how Paul says somewhere that it is in the face of Jesus that we see the glory of God. And so let's focus for a moment on the Lord Jesus and think through who He is and what He has done. And let's put it like this. The Jesus of the Gospels is the very one who has fulfilled our text. Don't we have to say that? What David describes here in Psalm 145, verse 2, what David describes and resolves and presents to us, let's realize that Jesus did this. And He did it perfectly. We began by saying no one does this, but He did it. He blessed the Lord, Jesus did, every day. He blessed His God every day of His life here on this earth. Yes, as God's incarnate Son, how He blessed the Lord. Maybe you don't think of it that way, but it's true. And it's even essential to Him being our Savior. Because let's remember that not to bless the Lord every day, that's not simply an omission on our part. It's actually our rebellion. It is sin. Not to bless the Lord every day is part of what makes us guilty before God. After all, He has made us. And He has brought us into this world. And in this life, He has showered us with countless blessings. And all of them undeserved. We are here because of Him. We are blessed by Him. And therefore, how right and how good and how proper that in turn we bless Him. We praise Him. And the fact that we don't means that we deserve to be forever judged and left to ourselves. We shall forever perish. That's how it would be if there was no Jesus. If there was no love of God to send His Son. But God, in the fullness of time and for love for this world, does exactly that. He sends His Son to become incarnate. In His majesty, might, and mercy, God gives us His one and only Son. And what's that Son do? Incarnate as He becomes, born to us and one of us, what's He do? He lives a life of blessing God. Every day, Jesus lives in praise to the Lord. Every day, He lives in obedience to the Lord. Every day, He lives to please the Lord, His God. He gave Himself to that. And He does it for sinners. And He does it in our place. And He does it for those who fail to do it. And that's not all. Because we know what happens next. At the climax of His life, the Lord Jesus goes to the cross, where what He endures is not simply the assaults of man, but the judgment of His Father. What Jesus endures is the very God whom He spent His life blessing. This God turns against His Son and pours out on His Son all of His wrath and judgment. And it is as if the Son never blessed Him in life, but cursed Him in life. And more, for that is how the Father treats the Son. And how do we understand that? Well, it is the Father having given to the Son all the sins of His people. Here, Son, you take these, including the sins of my people, not blessing me as they ought. And like you did, you take these sins, and you bear the judgment for them. That they deserve. Isn't that Calvary? Isn't that the meaning of the cross? God's Son suffering for our sin. God's Son suffering for our not blessing God, but our too many times cursing God. And God's Son does it willingly, and He does it fully. And even as He is doing it, and maybe this is the most amazing of all, even as He is doing all of that for sinners such as us, even as He is doing it, He is blessing His God still.
Yes, also on that day, that hard Friday for him, think of how the words from the cross that he spoke, not one is a curse, but everyone is a prayer or an expression of trust and obedience and commitment. And even in his greatest agony, when he cries out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Even there and then, by remaining on the cross and by being faithful through the fire, even unto death, the great Savior never ceased to bless the Lord. And you and me, we must look to him if we would bless the Lord every day. And every day, bless the Lord. Don't simply remember the text. You can remember the text. You can know God backwards and forwards in terms of systematic theology and more. But you must look to Christ, because it is in him and in him alone that we get forgiven, washed, and renewed. And it is in him that we get enabled. And it is in him, in the sight of Christ by faith, that we see all of God's attributes come together in a perfect way. And it is Christ in all his fullness who compels us to bless the Lord. He is the fuel that fires our praising God and our doing so every day, even when it is hard, as this life can often be, or when we are weak. And again, in this life, when are we not weak? But looking to Jesus and through Jesus receiving life, such undeserved, incomparable, all-satisfying and eternal life in Jesus and for his sake. That is what every believer may know. And what reason then every day, yes, every day to bless the Lord. Even when we are weeping, maybe. Even when we are struggling. Even in this valley of tears, when there is evil all around us and it wears us down, still we may bless the Lord through Jesus. So that, therefore, is how to start. Blessing the Lord every day. No one does this. And yet, how to start. And then one more thing. Oh, if we all did this. Oh, if we all did this. That's a cry. That's a call. Oh, if we all did this, if we all learned more and more to bless the Lord every day, and every day to bless the Lord. Just think, for example, how helped we'd all be. What so often happens when we are not blessing the Lord? Well, how weak we become spiritually, how vulnerable, how susceptible to temptation, to the suggestions of the devil. How easily, too, we can despair in the face of the struggles of life. How easily we don't really persevere. What's the way to fight all of that? What's the way to be a truly sunny Christian, cheerful and bright, attractive and winsome, and a true pleasure to know? Well, some people would say it's your personality. You either have it or you don't. And to be sure, personality is a part of it. But the heart of it, the ultimate secret to it, is not personality. It's not something merely natural. It's supernatural. It's the Holy Spirit in our life, reflected and made known by our focus on the Lord God in Christ and by our constantly blessing him. Think how the New Testament commends this as well. When, for instance, the Apostle Paul calls God's people to rejoice always, to rejoice always. Always. And we might think to ourselves, what? Does Paul not live in the real world? How can someone rejoice always? Well, Paul says, in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And Paul said that. And by God's grace, Paul also did that. He writes, for example, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10, about himself and his colleagues. And though they were weeping in life and sorrowing, yet Paul says we are always rejoicing. Why? Because he had learned through the Holy Spirit every day to bless the Lord his God. So that is why, oh, if we all did this, how many spiritual problems might be resolved? How many doubts and fears might be overcome? How many anxieties and more might be forever finished if we learned all the more that we learned every day to bless the Lord, to look to Him and exalt Him and to trust in Him. Like David, to say every day, I will bless you. But let's not only think of ourselves. How too others might be blessed as well. I mean, if they heard and saw in us a life of continually blessing the Lord, wouldn't that be? Or whenever you see that, isn't that so powerful and so drawing? I don't mean, of course, in a light or superficial way or in a canned manner to say, bless the Lord for this and bless the Lord here. No, it's more than words, really. It's words too, but it's a whole life. Someone who is blessing the Lord every day, the entire orientation of their life is so God-focused and the entire spirit of their life becomes so God-radiating and reflecting. And what an attraction that is in this dark and despairing world. And how seriously we need to consider this. How seriously we need to consider this. Someone asked me a few weeks ago about witnessing to others and what is my experience. And I had to say to them that regretfully I feel like I witnessed very little. In part it's due to the nature of my work, I suppose. I'm not often with unbelievers, professing unbelievers. That's not the only reason, of course, even when I am in contact with professing unbelievers. Like many of you, no doubt, it's so easy to be afraid or to become tongue-tied. That's to our shame. And one of my challenges, one of the challenges of the Christian church and of every believer is to be faithful in bearing witness and in proclaiming the gospel of our Savior. But here's one way to start doing that. In our life, to be blessing the Lord. Always and every day to be blessing the Lord. Invariably, the world will see and hear something is different about those people. There's a strange, remarkable, very intriguing spirit that's all about them. Which may well lead to the questions, what makes you tick? Who is this Lord that you're always blessing? Why do you talk in the way that you do? How come you're so different, so happy, and so at rest? And therein we get our opportunities. So blessing the Lord every day. Oh, if we all did this, how helped we'd be, how blessed others might be. And think, finally, if we did this, won't it be true how praised our God and our King will be? It actually goes without saying, but it is useful, isn't it, to say it? If we bless the Lord our God and do so every day, then every day the Lord our God will be praised by us. He will be blessed and exalted. And is that not important? And is that not what all true Christians really want? God praised. That will be the experience of all eternity. Then finally in fullness and without intermission, never forgetting or becoming distracted or slipping away into something else. No, fully and forever, God's people will bless Him. They will do so every day, and they will do so all their days. They will do so endless days. And how good, therefore, if we could learn to be doing it already now. Is this not how we might get ready for heaven? Which, by the way, ought to be our business in this world. And how much heaven on earth even we could experience if every day we would give ourselves to blessing the Lord. And so, congregation, that's the sermon. And what it leaves us with is a question. David says, every day, I will bless the Lord. Will we, by God's grace, do the same? Let's realize that not to is to walk further down the road to hell. David mentions that in this psalm too, at the very end, when he speaks in verse 20 about how the wicked God will destroy. And who are the wicked? The wicked are simply those who will not, who do not bless the Lord, who have no interest in Him, who want to live their own life, and the Lord can take care of Himself. No, David with this psalm is saying, let there be no one living that way. Instead, may we say it, what David does, and may we do it every day that we live in this world, Every day that we are given here on this earth. And when we fail, as we shall, let us continue to rest in the one who did it fully and on our behalf, and through whom we receive forgiveness, and by whom we may pick up and go on, all the more blessing the Savior God. Yes, every day, blessing the Lord every day until that last and great day of which the Bible speaks like this. All the shadows will flee away and we will enter into His presence, the very God of whom David writes. And there before His face, we will bless Him forever. Amen. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go to your homes and into this week in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.